Today our title is, we're looking at someone that stands out from the crowd, or standing out from the crowd. And we are turning to the scriptures, we're turning to, first of all, Numbers in chapter 14, and we're reading from verse 13 to verse 24, and then we're turning to Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 to 15. Numbers chapter 14, verses 13 to 24, and then Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 to 15. Can I continue to keep before you the Tuesday nights in our Bible study? For those of you who do not know, we're looking at the rebuilding of the walls. We're looking and studying through the book of Nehemiah. We're coming into chapter 2 now, and we're still going to look at the first 8 verses and see how Nehemiah was prepared for the work that was before him. In chapter 1, he was shocked. He was shocked when he heard the report, and we began to see what was in his heart. And then as we've unfurled through chapter 1, we see that he went and he prayed one of the most unusual prayers as we went through last Tuesday. This coming Tuesday, we're looking at Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. And we're looking how God prepared that man. Really set him on side. Now, can I say to you, as if you're in school or if you're in university, why would you not come on Tuesday night? Why would you not want to learn what God's word has to say? And can I encourage you, please, and challenge especially those who will be the leaders of the church of tomorrow, that you take that as a matter of interest and concern to your heart. First of all, let's then read from Numbers chapter 14, verses 13 to verse 24. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among his people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in the pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard of the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. And then over to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14 and verses 6 to 15. And the Lord, verses 6 to 15. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, a man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I was brought, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren, that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said those 45 years ago, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel gathered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Amen, and we trust that the Lord will bless that reading of his word to our hearts. There's no prizes for guessing or who represents those who stand out from the crowd. A man called Caleb. A man called Caleb stood out from the crowd. Have you ever met someone, or have you ever came across someone, and because of their generosity, or because of their character, their nature, their good-heartedness, or because of their kindness towards you, or because of who they were and how they helped you in a difficult situation, have you ever said, I wish there was 10 of you? I wish there was 10 of you. Boy, life would be different if I had 10 people like you around me. Can I ask you very quickly and very sharply, if there were 10 of you in this church, would it be easier or harder? That's a very straight question, isn't it? Would it put more work on the church structures? Or would it relieve a lot of the stress and strain that the few that are serving the Lord are feeling in these days? What would the church be like if there was 10 more of you? Caleb is one of those people. We wish there was 10 more like him. The fact is, there were 10 who were totally not like him, and Joshua, who had a heart for God as well. He's described in Numbers of someone who had a different spirit. He is a man different from the crowd, a different attitude, a different outlook, different heart, different in so very many ways. Another spirit means when others thought negatively, he thought positively. When others were giving up, he was getting going. When others were defeated, he was marching to victory. When others were throwing in the towel, he was taking up the mantle. When others were shrugging their shoulders in carelessness, he was fitting himself for battle. He stood out from the crowd and from the rest. He is someone that every church would like to have 10 more of. What was so different about Caleb? He had another spirit. I want to look at that another spirit very quickly and very briefly. And I challenge my own heart as I would challenge, God willing, your heart, to see where you sit, to see where you fit, to see what benefit you are, and to see how you can benefit and be a benefit. I remember the first prayer that I was taught, because I was so shy I couldn't open my mouth in the prayer meeting. And this wee old lady, Mrs. Dudgeon, we used to call her Mrs. Dudgeon, she took the bull by the horns one day. You'll all know, some of you will know Mrs. Dudgeon, you'll heard, they are famous people when it comes to missionary life. And we were attending this little prayer union Bible study on a Tuesday night in the Orange Hall in Monaghan. That was because that's where they met, and we were there. And I was sitting in the prayer meeting, me and Gary Tutty, or should I say Gary Tutty and I, for those of you who are very posh. And she said, it's time you all got to pray. And she says, now I understand that you're nervous and you're not used to your own voices. She says, here's what you'll say in prayer. Lord, bless me and make me a blessing. Well, we managed to stumble it out and stumble it out. And I have to say, we felt great relief in the fact that we were enabled to articulate this little prayer. Lord, bless me and make me a blessing. Did we fully appreciate? Did we fully understand what it was that we just prayed? Lord, bless me and make me a blessing. Is my life a blessing? Have I been a blessing to folks that I've come to meet and come to know? Or have I been a source of grievance and heartache and heartbreak? Have I been stubborn and arrogant, and have I been difficult? Or have I been a blessing? I'd like you to ask yourself, seriously now folks, seriously, those online as well, seriously, what kind of blessing is my life? What kind of blessing is your life? I want us to look at this man called Caleb. The man that stood out from the crowd. And my hope is that we will also stand out from the crowd. Well, what was different about Caleb? First of all, there was his wholehearted commitment. You'll find that in Numbers chapter 14, verses 22 to verse 24. God said of Caleb, not Moses, not Joshua, God said of Caleb, he has wholeheartedly followed me. He followed me fully, in another version. Wherever he was sent, whatever his hand was given to do, he didn't only just turn up, he did it wholeheartedly. He was conscientious. He was meticulous. He was the kind of individual that would have been there a half an hour before he should have been there. And instead of just throwing some old thing together, he would have planned all week of how he was going to do it, what he was going to do. He would have thought about his words and his responses and his reactions. He would have pulled himself into check if he felt he was going out of the way that God had called him. He followed the Lord fully. Whatever the Lord had brought him to do. Are you listening? Now you say, well, I'm not necessarily doing anything. I'm just a born-again believer. God saved you to serve. He saved you to serve. He served the Lord faithfully. He had a task to do, and he never once thought of giving up on it. No one and nothing stopped him from doing so. He took his calling seriously. And he executed it honestly. What you see, might put it another way, where he was with God was how he lived out his life. What God had said to him, what God had shown him, where God had brought him, the thing that God had placed into his hand, he did it faithfully. Do you notice that God spells out in Numbers chapter 14, verse 22, the basis for which he faithfully served the Lord? God said, I brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and I gave them many signs. Well, you and I aren't in Egypt, thank God. You and I are not trying to get to the promised land by our own efforts. The reason and the challenge to this preacher and to every person in this gathering is we serve the Lord wholeheartedly, faithfully, because of what he did on the cross. Because of what he has done. If you know anything about the sacrifices in the Old Testament, they were never allowed to bring a sacrifice that was damaged or infirm. Because that sacrifice was always a foreshadow of who Christ was, or a particular facet or aspect or characteristic of Jesus Christ and what he was doing on the cross. If in case you didn't know, the Old Testament sacrificial system always pointed forward to Calvary. And so that's why the sacrifices could never, ever be imperfect. And because my Savior made a perfect sacrifice for me, we deliberately sang that hymn, Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, and my all. Caleb's service was based on the sacrifice as he looked towards Calvary. Now, I want to challenge you, and you can challenge me if you like at the door on the way out. Do I do everything as unto the Lord? Or am I careless in my execution? I think, Billy, Annette, where are you, Billy? If I phoned you at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning and said, I'm not going to bother coming in today. Well, why shouldn't I? Oh, you say, well, we pay your wages. Actually, no, that's not how you look at it. You release me from the burden of having to go out to work to earn a living by providing for your minister, is how I see it. So that he can give himself to the things of God. And how would it be if I phoned at 12:15? Ah, you know, I've got a bit of a headache. It's not too bad, but I'm not going to bother coming in. Well, I know one thing. I would be guilt-ridden as I felt that I should be, and I was mistreating the calling of God. Now, this is not only rife in the church. This is rife in society. Lack of commitment. People would rather live together than commit to each other. It's easier to walk out of an arrangement than it is out of a marriage. And for me it seems that people, in case it doesn't work out, they'll not bother committing because there's far too much responsibility placed on commitment. Talking to a boss recently, they are plagued with absenteeism in work. They have a number of machines, and each machine costs £1,700. They obviously just lease them out. Each machine costs £1,700 per shift. And quite often, two machines are lying idle because the workers never turned in. Well, you know what that does, don't you? That drives the price of the product up to make way for the shortfall. In fact, it would even close some businesses. The sad thing is that the attitude of the world is creeping into the church and into missionary endeavor. We get offers of come for a year and see what you feel like. Let's try it out for 3 years, and if it doesn't suit, you can go and do something else. Where's the call of God, folks? Has God not called you to serve him? And I'm not telling you, you might not necessarily be called to be a spy. I loved doing the door this morning. I don't know who did some, Lisa, she took over. I loved doing the door, and I was shaking hands with people. I loved that. Maybe you're just to shake hands. Play a bit of music. The basis of our walk and service is in what Christ has done for us in Calvary. And your service and my service are to be mirrored on Christ's faithfulness towards us. Are we as committed as he expects? Or are you indifferent? Well, it's only a shaking of the hands at the door. It's only giving out the hymn book. Well, we don't have hymn books anymore, but we have Samuel and James there on the PowerPoint, with the fellas in the background that you don't see ever, and they're working the cameras so that people who are watching at home can see online. And then we have people like Paul who takes all the titles and gets them on so that you have every means that you need so that you can give it out to others. How's your service? Last week I said that we have many ways and many means of expressing our worship. Through our giving, through our praying, through our listening, through our responses. Well, here's another. Through our commitment. Our commitment. Notice not only he served the Lord faithfully, he served the Lord fearlessly. Joshua 14:8 says, I holy, this is Caleb speaking himself. He says, I holy followed the Lord my God. While others saw a diabolical foe, Caleb saw a defeated foe. Listen to this wee illustration that I picked up somewhere. A preacher who was asked by a wealthy businessman who made his fortune ruthlessly. Well, he asked the preacher to do his brother's funeral. Now, neither men had been at a church, or nor were they churchgoers, or showed any religious inclinations whatsoever. But this wealthy businessman offered the preacher £25,000 if he'd say that his brother was an angel at the funeral service. The church members heard about it and said, surely, he says, you're not going to say that this man was an angel. And the church was packed to see if the preacher would be faithful to his calling, or would he give in because the church needed a new roof, new windows, new carpet, and whatever else the church needed. And so he began. This man we are burying today was a liar, a cheat, a drunk. He was a rascal. However, he said, next to his brother that's sitting in the front of the church, he was an angel. So, I don't know whether he got the 25 grand or not. The preacher didn't sell out his principles, and he didn't sell out his conscience, because he was wholeheartedly committed to fearlessly serving the Lord. What's that got to do with you and me? Well, we're not threatened by anyone to abandon our service or anything else. We never ever be attempted to be bribed or attempted to turn a blind eye to leave the job. But take it from someone who knows. The enemy will make sure that you have plenty of alternatives to do what God wants you to do. Will I say that again? The devil will provide many avenues for you to be diverted from doing what God wants you to do. I have always this burning question. Why it is that it will always be the work of God that comes to the wall when situations and circumstances change in our lives. Why is it? It'll never be our pastimes. It'll never be our free time. It'll never be our me time. And it'll never be our hobbies. But more often than not, can't come to church because I've got a runny nose. But you're out shopping the day before. Can't come, the air's too thin in the morning. You'd be found in the coffee shop at 11 o'clock. 5 days a week. Preparing for Tuesday night, I'll be highlighting the fact that we have three enemies. No, actually it'll be tonight. In the final and fifth part of what it means, what must I do to be saved? I'm not going to tell you what it is. You'll have to come along and hear. But I will be highlighting the fact that we have three enemies. The world, the flesh and the devil. Trying to pull us away from what God wants us to do. And if you notice through the two readings that we read, that one of the reasons that God had called them out of Egypt was that they might bring glory to God. We read it again and again and again. His wholehearted commitment. Notice very quickly, his high-spirited confidence. It's important to note that he was not confident in his own ability or in his own self-assertiveness. He wasn't one of those people who believed in the power of positive thinking. He had a far greater source or basis of assurance and confidence. Caleb was fully confident that God would do what he had promised. He was confident that God would make good on his word. You're on sure ground when you stand upon God's promises. He had a faith that never wavered. Faith check is never dishonored at God's bank of promises. He was confident in the work that God had planned and purposed for his people. Caleb was not working on his own project. He was working in God's work. And God's work was to get his people through the wilderness and into the promised land. That was his calling. That was his calling. Well, here's the thing though. Everyone around Caleb knew God's promise in Deuteronomy 1 and 21. Will I read it to you? Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. Way back in Deuteronomy, before they began the journey, God says, listen, on you go, the land's yours. Why did they need to send in spies if the land was already theirs? Had God not already gone into the land? And had he not already given them the land? Well, Deuteronomy tells us yes. So we can only deduct and surmise that it wasn't really God's desire that they send in spies, because he already given them the land. So why did Caleb go? He wanted to encourage the rest of his brethren. He wanted to inspire them. He wasn't going to leave them behind. He wanted to. He went there and with the full intent of these other 11 men, that they were going to know that God could bring them in, and that to dispel any negative thoughts or any defeated thoughts. I wonder, is it a negative thought that has brought you out of God's work? Is it a negative situation that has made you retreat? Are there issues going on in your home, in your family, and in your life that's saying the first thing, here's the first thing that the devil will say to you, just you go and have, you just throw in the towel and go and have an easy life. Because it's so easy to throw in the towel. But a man that's convinced and convicted that God's doing something and he wants to be part of that something, he'll not throw in the towel. When the going gets tough, Caleb gets going. As far as Caleb is concerned, they already own the land. God never brings you to be part of something that's meaningless or irrelevant. God brings you into something that's far bigger than you can imagine. Far bigger than you can imagine. Our service is for the kingdom. We're not laboring to get to heaven. We're laboring because we're going there. Our labors are for the blessings of others and as part of our worship for God. And can I say to you, dear soul, no matter how small it may seem, no matter how irrelevant it may appear, no matter how noticed you may feel, no matter, my dear friend, how unappreciated you feel, no matter how difficult you may find it, we are serving the King. We're serving the King. It's the King's business. And the King's business requires haste. Let us labor for the Master till the dawn of setting sun. Is that the right words? Do you want to sing it? Let us labor for the Master till the dawn of setting sun. Let us tell of all his wondrous love and care. When the same and the work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let's sing the chorus. When the roll, when the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. And listen to this, you'll hear the well done. You'll hear the well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Paul says, I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. Will it be said of you, O Demas has forsaken us, having loved this present world? His high-spirited confidence was not in self-ability or self-worth. Or his high-spirited confidence is that he was involved in a great work, and as Nehemiah said, he could not come down. Third thing, his unwavering, did I give you that? His unwavering conviction. I think I gave you that, did I? No, I didn't. Wouldn't want you to miss. Just very quickly, for Numbers 14 and verse 8, what was his unwavering conviction? God was with him. Let me put this to you in another way. Everywhere he went, and in every situation he faced, and By the way, we notice that he faced many situations. Can you imagine Caleb having the patience for 40 years wandering around in the wilderness with those who were doubters and no hopers, and all the while his heart was in the promised land? How did he manage? He brought God into every situation. And for you that's getting discouraged in the service of God, for you deacons probably that feel under stress and under pressure because of the pressures that culture is placing on us as a church that you know nothing about, my dear friends, what we have to do, we have to bring the Holy Spirit. We have to rely upon the Spirit of God and bring God into every situation. Oh, he walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You can bring him into that confrontation. You can bring God into that obstruction. You can bring God into that difficulty. You can bring God into every situation, because that's what Caleb did. His unwavering conviction. The giants of discouragement. Oh, who here doesn't know of the giant of discouragement? What about the giant of disputes? Hasn't God got a wonderful way of knocking the corners of our personality and our character? He brings us into the cauldron of a fellowship, a community of his people, and he says, get on with my work. And yes, there's not one person in this service and in this church, and there's not one member in this church, and there's not one affiliate or associate member in this church who's perfect. We're all imperfect. And you know what imperfect people do? They hurt one another. But we're supposed to work it out. The giant of difficulty, danger, division. If you keep God in the picture, with our God we can run through a troop and we can leap over a wall. Caleb tells you that our efficiency is not our efficiency, but his sufficiency. All our efficiency without the sufficiency, his sufficiency, is deficiency. Micah said, chapter 3, verse 8, truly I am full of power by the Spirit of God and of judgment and of might. It was Micah said that. Acts 6 and 5, as they are choosing out Stephen to be one of the disciples, said, and the saying pleased the whole nation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost. And then we get to chapter 6 and verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom of the Spirit by which he spake. And he was even able to face the stones of them that would have his death in faith, looking up to heaven, rejoicing in the fact that he was seen fit to suffer with the King. Last we thought, take me 2 minutes, his universal accreditation. Now I'm going to do a wee quiz with you. Is this all right? I'm going to do it anyway. Right, how many spies were there? Come on, it wasn't 10, it was 12, all right? Name me 4 other spies. Joshua, oh, well done. Name me one of the others. They're nobodies. You'll find them in Joshua chapter 13, by the way. They're named in Joshua 13. But they're nobodies. They're also rams. They're insignificant. God doesn't, listen, they're not even deposited in our minds. Why? Because those that will be something for God, suffer something for God, but if they keep their eyes fixed on him, keep their hands on the plows, they are always going to be the ones that we remember. And by the way, we didn't go into it, but Joshua, never forget the promise, forgot the promise those 40 years. And 5 years after they got into the promised land, he says, Joshua, God told me 45 years ago that I would have my wee plot of land in the promised land, and I'm here now to claim it. And by the way, when he was 85 years of age, he said, I've still more energy now than I had 85 years ago. And by the way, in case you didn't remember, Joshua was the one that drove out the enemy. He possessed his land while others were still flourishing. All because he had another spirit. Have you another spirit? I want to tell you, this church could do with 10 Calebs. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth that speaks so powerfully to our hearts. We thank you for a man called Joshua or Caleb. Thank you for Caleb who had another spirit. Caleb who he had another spirit because he knew God. He had right priorities, right opinions, right appeals, right attitude. He was a man after God's own heart. We pray, Lord, that you will write this message on all of our hearts, because we need, Lord, in these days, people who will build the walls again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song that will give you opportunity to respond in your heart. Not asking for any visible or physical response, just respond in your heart. Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. And if you're thinking of throwing in the towel, let's just revisit again and let's reenact our faith in him and let God work and move in your heart. We'll stand and sing, please. Talking about Caleb today because he had another spirit. What will the world be saying about you in 10 years' time? What will we be saying about you in 20 years' time? What will we be saying about you in a year's time? We would never call our child Judas, but we'll call a girl Mary, or Paul, or Stephen. I trust God has touched your heart today. Father, separate us in thy fear and with your blessing. Bring us to our homes in safety. Bring us back again this evening full of faith, looking to see what God will say to us as a church. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. And they shouted,
Amen.
Thank you.